live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Good morning. Wow.
What was that?
Oh, my goodness.
A little frog in your throat
Did
there?
Did you hear that?
Yep.
Wow. Good morning, everyone, and happy Tuesday. What a start to the show.
Ooh, what is it, Tuesday, you said?
Yeah. Wow. All right.
We move forward.
Wow.
We keep going.
That was a little much.
It's okay.
That was a little much.
You're just a little choked up hearing about Kevon Looney.
A little choked up. I'm very choked up.
I know.
I don't know what the hell's going to happen. Now, Kevon Looney's big piece to this team, and I think he's been... I think he's been just as consistent a player in the playoffs as Clay has been. I'm not going to say he's more important and whatnot, but because Clay obviously is the more important player. He's the one you need making those threes consistently when no one else is, and you also need him being the only one actually making shots in the beginning of the game like he did in game two. But Kevon Looney's been just as consistent with his play, especially as a sixth man off the bench since Andre Iguodala got the start. But we'll get into all that a little later. We kind of just jumped the gun there. But
that's okay. We'll get into the official report. We'll give everyone the official info from the Warriors, what the diagnosis is for Kevon Looney, what the diagnosis is for Klay Thompson, because it's going to make a major impact when it comes to Game 3 of the NBA Finals.
So we got an official injury update from the Warriors, but then Adrian Wojnarowski gave a little more info after that was released. So we'll get into all that. And then we also had a baseball draft yesterday, which... kind of curious to get your thoughts on that. 95795, chill now by the text line, 888-957-9570. I mean, as a Giants fan, or as an A's fan even, what do you think of the draft? Because as Giants fans, I don't think anyone's really bothered paying attention until Joey Bart got drafted, and now you got this kid, Hunter Bishop, and then he's out of Arizona State and Sarah High School, giving you shades of Barry Bonds. At least that's where Barry Bonds went to school. So we'll see where that goes. I wonder where you're at with that, though, on the chill number. Text line 95795, 888-957.
Got outfield help, apparently, down the road, maybe.
A little bit of outfield help.
Maybe.
Yeah, center fielder. That's what he says. He's 6'5", 240, I want to say. And, yeah, I mean, they say he could be a center fielder. But, I mean, so we're going to get into Clay, Kevon Looney, all this good stuff. Juju Smith-Schuster, weirdly taking... He didn't take a kid to the prom, but a guy asked him to go to prom with him because his girlfriend broke up with him.
Heartbroken, poor guy.
We'll get into that in a little
bit.
But, I mean, what intrigues you the most today, Anna? We're the first day out of, you know, game two. Still got a couple of days left until game three. I mean, where are you at?
Well, this is going to be a little off-topic thing, but I'm a little annoyed about this whole spoiler alert, non-spoiler alert thing. So right now, random, I told you yesterday, you know this guy James Holzhauser? I think I'm saying his
we've
name
mentioned,
right? From Jeopardy.
We've mentioned talked about him. Oh, we've mentioned him.
You know, he's been on this big role with Jeopardy and everything. And
big role?
Huge role.
Historic role.
Historic. Almost.
Record-setting role.
Almost. He fell short, though. He fell short last night. And yesterday I was G-chatting. He's like, wait, did he lose yesterday and I missed it? And no. It was that all these reports came out before the show actually aired saying that he'd lost. And I had no idea. It's like, what happened to the spoiler alert? What, because Game of Thrones, everybody's like, I'm just going to start tweeting. If you don't watch it live, then too bad for you. Even this wasn't even live.
I've never been more angry at a spoiler alert before. I spoiled myself when I didn't watch a Game of Thrones episode in, like, season 7 or whatever in time. So I saw, like, a GIF, and it kind of spoiled everything. So I did that to myself. I blame myself for that. But I blame social media for this.
I do too.
Because in competitive whatever this is, whatever you call Jeopardy, if you want to call it a sport, you can call it a sport. It's still a competition. It's one of the greatest streaks in competition history. And this dude was going for the money amount, the money record. Like, he was, I think, 54,000 away from setting the record, and he was consistently getting like 79,000 or something like that on average. So they got spoiled, and my night was ruined because I planned on watching that and enjoying it, and I would have taken great joy because everyone likes to see the Patriots lose. Everyone likes to see the Yankees lose. I mean, I was excited to see this guy possibly lose or possibly win because it would have been an amazing feat. Then it all got ruined by social media.
And I think we know the reason why, apparently, it was ruined. And apparently, James had actually tweeted out, "Knew I shouldn't have invited Drake to the Jeopardy taping."
So it's all his fault.
It's all Drake's fault. Just like, you know, we'll see what happens right now with the Warriors and Raptors, what's going on over there. Is it going to be Drake's fault in the end?
Drake. Another reason to not like him or not be a fan of him right now. We'll see how he reacts when he comes back to Oracle.
But you know what's funny? I love the relationship between him and E-40. I know that everyone's trying to get this whole, hey, let's get this big rap battle going on. Those two are friends. They're tweeting with each other. They're on Instagram taking funny pictures together. Those two are buds.
Yeah, the dinner that Draymond and Drake had, did you hear about that?
No.
They had dinner over there in Toronto in between games one and
That's
two.
That's just so wrong.
I wasn't into that.
No.
I thought after that game, I'm like, ooh, Draymond and Drake talking a little smack. And then, you know, Draymond went off on social media before. So I was just wondering, like,
it's an act.
Maybe this is real. And then we find out that they're going to dinner together. And then it just took all the energy out of that. So I don't really know what to make of it.
It's that whole idea of everybody saying how all these NBA players, they act like they don't get along, but then they all like, oh, they're all buddy-buddy off the court. Even on the court, they're all buddy-buddy. They're all hugging each other. It's like, no, I want that competitive edge that you used to have. You know, don't act all buddy-buddy friendly on the court there.
Yeah.
You need there has to be that competitive edge with each other, that rivalry that kind of makes it more fun for the fans. Look, whether if you want to jump on a banana boat in the offseason, go do you. But on the court, I know it's not on the court with Drake, but still, it's just you're in the middle of the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's how it is now with the social media age. But there's one Max Kellerman yesterday on First Take. Now, I want to play this sound for you. I didn't even mention this to you, but I want to see if this is just for shock value or he actually really, truly believes this. Here's Max Kellerman on First Take talking about Iguodala's last shot of the game and that he would take Iguodala having the last shot over a certain player.
Everyone on Golden State, open shot, fate of the universe on the line, or the Martians have the death beam pointed at Earth, you better hit it. I want Iguodala. That's right. And I know what that sounds like. And it's not fair to Steph because so much defensive attention is paid to him. And I'm not saying Steph's not a better shooter. He's a way better shooter. Iguodala's got ice water in his veins.
Okay. Shock value, right?
Completely.
Look, is it?
I love you, Andre. You're one of my favorite players. I absolutely adore Andre Iguodala. But if I'm going to give that last shot to somebody, going to give that last three, it's going to be Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Andre had missed, what was it, 13 threes before that? That's why they left him so open. That's why Nick Nurse saying, we would make that same decision.
Yeah, he made one beforehand in the game, and then before in the Blazers series, he missed 11 straight,
yeah.
I want to say. And then it was 12 straight at the beginning of the game once he missed his next one, but then he made the next one, so he kind of negated all of that. But yeah, he was basically 1 for 12 with three-pointers by the time he got that shot around. And the thing is, though, Curry, I think, is 0 for 8. When it comes to making the big shots, clutch shots in the final minutes when you're either down by three or up by three and you kind of got to make a dagger to seal the game, he's 0-for in those situations. So, I mean, I don't know if Max Kellerman really believes this, but there are stats to back up the fact that, hey, maybe we don't want Curry taking the last shot. Now, I think it's a way better discussion. I mean, if you're saying, hey, do I want KD taking the last shot or Klay taking the last
right.
shot? You clearly don't want Iguodala taking that last shot over Curry.
And look, you can't cut him short for what he's done. He has been so amazing. When it comes to the NBA Finals, he is a spectacular player. He obviously has won MVP for Finals MVP for a reason.
Yeah.
He is an incredible player. He's been an important part of this team. But, yeah, when it comes to that, I'd definitely go somebody else if I had the choice. Like, if my life's on the line, I'd probably go with either a Steph Curry, obviously Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson first before I'd go with Andre.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know.
But it looked good.
It's total recency bias and prisoner of the moment, whatever you want to call it. I just heard that sound this morning and I just felt like playing it right off the bat because that's a little controversial there, Max. But at the same time, he's probably just doing it just to get a rise out of people.
Someone from 650 might as well have said Bogut. There is one Bogut three that I will always remember. Remember that one where he just took a random three, and he was just standing there. No jump, just standing. I'll always remember that one three, and I think that was the only three he's made.
That's like what those 7-plus footers do, though. Yeah. They don't move their feet when they shoot the ball. They just keep it locked on the ground. They might jump like an inch or two, but they're not going to get up for, you know, like a 12-inch vertical just to get up a three. But I don't know. I just had to play that sound for you. And Iguodala over Curry, and you're really going to say that though on national TV?
That's what, you know, apparently is the hot takes
right
now.
Good Lord. From the 510 on the Chill and Auto Body text line, everyone gets a trophy, gives you hugs after the game. Not sure what they're talking about there.
Probably the Drake and
Ah, yes. And from the 650 on the Chill and Auto Body text line, Boogie and Bogut were always at it. Probably Boogie and most Warriors. I remembered that, actually. Bogut and Boogie Cousins. They weren't big fans of each other, and Boogie Cousins also, I think it was Chris Paul who he had a little beef with, and that's kind of why I wanted to see him in the Rocket series more or less, because the dude does not like Chris Paul, I don't think. Just like a lot of people in the
league. Sadly.
I was really hoping that they would get that matchup. But from the 916 on the Chill Nobody text line, any baseball fan who says they know anything about the MLB draft is a filthy liar. And then from 650 on the Chill Nobody text line, what's next? Draft grades? Then from the 415, Giants finally have a bright future. And the 916 is partly right. I mean, it's not any baseball fan. I'd say any casual baseball fan who might be a fan of the pros but not a fan of college. Sure, I mean, any casual baseball fan wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. But I do, however, trust any of the experts out there that are, you know, talking about it, whatever, and they absolutely love that pick. Got to give a shout-out to Calzone Andrew Vaughn as well. He was drafted by the White Sox. We'll see how he does there. And the thing is with the Giants, though, the picks that you see in the draft for most teams, you might not see them for 4 years, but these guys that you're seeing with the Giants right now, they could be coming up within the next two. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Joey Bart next season, and then we'll see if this Hunter Bishop can come up in a couple of years. But this is where they kind of build that young core, and this is how they got the championship team that they went on a run with. So, I mean, they just built it from the ground up. And they also took a first baseman from Louisville in the second round. I don't know how he's going to pan out. Those guys, they might get traded for prospects. You know, you never know with the other rounder. But these guys that they draft in the first round, those are the guys you got to keep an eye on and remember the name for. Sorry if you are a baseball fan who thinks that the MLB draft is meaningless, but it's not. You got to remember, you remember these guys' names, especially, I mean, if you're like a Braves fan, you're going to remember those guys' names. Austin Riley out there is killing it right now. He was an original first round pick. Like, there's certain guys out there that you got to keep your tabs on, and Hunter Bishop is one of them, I think.
Yeah, and here's the thing about the MLB draft. Obviously, if you have a name, you get a name, if you draft somebody who's a big name, you're obviously, your team's not doing well, in all honesty.
Yeah.
If you're going to draft somebody of that caliber early on, your team's not doing well, so you're going to be looking forward to these players. But then if you look at other players, like Mike Trout was drafted 25th in his draft.
Yeah.
And you never know. You can find a diamond in the rough later on down the draft. You don't know with some of these guys if they're going to pan out when it comes to actually getting into baseball. And that's the hard thing about baseball is, you know, it's a long process. It's really a commitment when it comes to drafting players and figuring out if they're going to work. But like you said, what worked with the Giants, what got them those three championships was because they were homegrown players, that they worked together. And there is something to say about chemistry and bringing them all together and kind of working with each other. That's what we're kind of seeing with a lot of these young A's players now. When you have like Chapman and Olsen, they came up together. I remember watching them when they were with the Ports,
right,
and watching them come up together. So there is something to say about chemistry and really working together.
Yeah, you see Brandon Belt coming up with the San Jose Giants. Yeah. You see all these sort of guys doing that, all that stuff. So I'm not going to try and predict how this guy's going to do in the future. I'm not going to say, yeah, he's going to be a 25-plus home run guy right off the bat. No pun intended.
Gotta have hope.
Yeah, but at least this should give you some sort of optimism heading into the future. Okay, we're going to get into Kevon Looney and Clay's injuries, obviously, because those are pretty big. Kevon Looney most likely going to miss the rest of the series, so we'll see how he does. And then we're also going to be qualifying people at 5:30 for finals tickets.
Ooh, you want to go to the NBA finals? You got to listen here.
Stick around here. We're going to be giving it away. We'll be going to break at about 5:30, so I'm saying 5:35 most likely.
Okay.
Around ballpark, 5:35, 5:36, 5:37. We'll see.
Just stay tuned at 5:30.
Stay tuned at 5:30 for your chance to qualify for finals tickets. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
The NBA Finals. Warriors. The Game. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis.
You heard the man, and the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for golden mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with their product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. And from the 650 on the Chilton Autobody text line, the draft was live. There was one clap for the Giants' first pick. Ha! Yeah, you saw when the Giants' pick was made. It was super awkward the way that Rob Manfred was trying to do it. He was like, you know, he'd announce the pick and then he'd just awkwardly pause and then announce the next team that's going to go up and whatever. It's not like the NFL draft where they got guys walking up. You get a big hug to Roger Goodell. It's not like that. And he literally waited for a clap when the Giants made their pick. And that made me nervous because I don't know about these college baseball players. I don't know anything about them. Then when the Hunter Bishop pick was made and you're seeing all these guys say that, hey, they made the right pick. This was a great move for them. I'm like, okay. But yeah, the little non-clap, the awkward pause. Yeah, he was just waiting for something. He's just like, okay, and the Braves have the next pick.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
A little awkward there.
It was a little weird.
You sounded like that 80s clap like in the movie.
Yeah, a little slow clap, except it was it was just cut off after the second one. Exactly. Best slow clap ever, Cool Runnings.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't at me.
That's a good one.
From the 925 on the Chill Not a Body text line, I'm taking the last shot with only seconds left in the game. If you are double teamed, pass it. If you have one defender and can hit a free throw, take the shot. Otherwise, if you're wide open, shoot it anyway. Andre was perfect for game two. Yeah, that's kind
of,
I think that is, because it's a fun sports radio conversation when you're talking about, you know, who would I rather take on this lineup to take the last shot, Curry, Clay, KD, whatever. But in the end, it is all about just the situation that you're in at the time.
Yeah.
And I totally got it wrong. I assumed that Siakam was following along with Curry. No, Siakam thought they got the steal, and he was going toward the other basket. So Andre had a wide open shot with Siakam's momentum going completely the other way. And then, by the way, the last two-minute report that the refs released, it ended up Steph could have been called for a travel
there. Yeah,
tough one because he moved off his pivot foot, which is true. He planted on his left and then he moved left after that. So
game of inches, right?
Yeah, right. But you know what? The last 2 minute report really, as we like to mention on this show, we don't really know the purpose of it except for clarifying things that can't be changed.
Trying to maybe keep people from. Just stay clean in the game. The refs keep them clean, I guess.
Maybe we're just being
keep them accountable.
Maybe it's for them to improve. It's just for the refs. And for us, we just get to see it. But, you know, whatever.
There's definitely more discrepancy sometimes afterwards for, you know, fans. You're sitting there saying, oh, we should have gotten this game because this. Well, you can't go back on it now.
Yeah. No.
Can't change game now.
From the 650 on the Chilton Autobody text line, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky.
That's true.
Michael Scott.
That's true.
There's one thing I want to get your opinion on, the text line, that is, the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795. But I want to know if just this is an odd story that surfaced yesterday. And it was a kid who broke up, a high school student who broke up with his girlfriend before prom, like a little bit before prom. And I don't know if he asked any other girls or asked any other dates, maybe got rejected, but he sent a DM to Juju Smith-Schuster. And then Juju Smith-Schuster replied to it and said, yeah, I'll go to the prom with you. And if you look online, there's pictures of them in a nice little turquoise velvet suit.
Crush velvet.
Fly suit, right? I'm not going to lie.
They're sweet.
They're pretty fly. They are pretty fly. But I just need to get your opinion. Chill Nobody text line 95795. Have you heard of anything like that? Because this is the social media age of sports, right? Players, they're starting to announce their retirements on Instagram. They're starting to announce their future plans on Twitter. And then Juju Smith-Schuster comes out, posts a picture of them two, and then he basically says, this guy sent me a DM, and then he said, I got the invite and had a litty night at prom. Litty is the word he legit used.
I'm going to use that.
And then he also said, watch my YouTube vid about it afterwards. So I'm like, these guys nowadays, we're entering that world. Juju Smith-Schuster's been doing this for a little bit. He'll prank guys on the street, he'll put like a mustache on and then just ask people what they think about Juju Smith-Schuster and then hope they'll say something bad about him. Then I'm Juju Smith-Schuster, and then we can all have a good laugh. So they've been doing that sort of thing, and he's got his own YouTube channel, and so now he's probably just doing this to really appeal to the masses, to the young kids that are still growing up watching the sport and might look up to the guy.
Well, 100%. Look, he's having fun with it. He's enjoying social media. He's getting out there with the fans. I don't have an issue with this. Now, I want to know more of the story about this kid. Did the girl break up with him right before prom?
That's what the text line here is saying. Yeah. And Chill Nobody text line from the 925 dumped him right before prom.
So that's sad. So you know what? That sucks. To get dumped right before prom. You're ready for the prom. You're with somebody. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, did she go with somebody else to prom? Did she go like dump him to go with somebody else? Sucks for the poor kid. At least enjoy the night. Maybe he was just heartbroken. Didn't want to go with anybody else. Maybe he got rejected. Why not go and have fun and say, I got a professional athlete to come hang out with me. I'd rather do that too.
I mean, why you got to do that though?
Why not?
I mean, good on Juju Smith-Schuster for going, for actually accepting that invite. But I also find it just odd that, hey, if I break up with my girlfriend right before prom, why not send a DM to an athlete and hope that he comes to prom with me? It's like, to me, it's just an odd situation.
This kid is now famous. This kid is now
it's
on
true.
ESPN. He is all over.
It's
He's
true.
On social media. He's probably got so many other girls now who
it's
are
true.
Trying to reach out
I didn't
to
think
like,
about
oh
that.
My gosh, you're so cute. You're hanging out with Juju Smith or this football player, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that this kid has gotten so much more game after that.
You think so?
Oh, God, 100%. 100%. You've got, and especially if there's a girl out there that, you know, if he's really into football and then maybe he finds a girl now that's really a big Steelers fan as well, you know, he may have made out better. Maybe it was the best thing for him to have her break up with him right before the prom.
Now, there was a video that surfaced of them dancing and students chanting FAB. I mean, I can't say the actual
expletive
word.
Expletive AB.
And AB for Antonio Brown. So that's how we tie it back to the Bay Area a little bit here.
Just a wee
bit. He's saying FAB, FAB. And Juju Smith-Schuster's dancing up and down, jumping, like kind of going to the beat of that chant. The video wasn't clear enough. The video looked like it was shot on a potato. It didn't,
potato.
It wasn't clear enough to actually, like, see what Juju Smith-Schuster was saying. I couldn't really see anything, but it's like, I don't know if that's a bad look or if that's just like, man, that beef's escalated and I wish that one of them was playing defense and one of them was playing offense and they would go at it this season.
That'd be awesome.
That would be the best. That
would have been great.
It's kind of a petty little beef that they got going on, though. I feel like it's all done on social media and video and all that sort of stuff now.
But that's kind of what all these players are doing now. They're all taking to social media because I think they're almost taking, you know, they're taking the media out of it. They're taking control of their own situations.
Right.
So, you know, when you're talking earlier about, you know, guys like announcing their retirements, announcing where they're going, it's more like, well, I'm going to take them all out of it and I'm going to control my own story. And so that's kind of what they're doing. And I think, I don't know, maybe they're trying to get more attention to themselves, obviously, by doing this, which is obviously the case. You see them getting more attention. You see them getting more followers and people are liking their stories more.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of it is it a legit beef and how much of it is just kind of played up.
It's hard to argue against the point of it's social media driven. Mm-hmm. Like it could be. They also could genuinely not like each other because as far as we're concerned, we know Juju Smith-Schuster sent when he was at USC, he sent AB a DM on Instagram, like with a polite message, like asking, hey, man, I'm a big fan of yours. Would love to get any sort of pointers as I'm just about to get drafted in the NFL. Would like any pointers you can have, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure if that was after he was drafted or right before he was drafted.
I think it was before.
But Antonio Brown ended up just poo-pooing that and made Antonio Brown look bad. Now you're seeing Juju Smith-Schuster partying with high school kids saying F-A-B, F-A-B.
Bad.
Now it's, oof. Now it's, now it's escalated a little bit. I just found that story kind of interesting, something off the beaten path in sports that happened yesterday. You don't see that all that often because from the text line, we're getting a lot of text line stuff saying the kid should ask the supermodel. Should have asked a star, you know, any of those. That's a little odd.
Gross.
Yeah, that'd be...
That just might be me, but that's... Sorry.
All right. And from the 707, social media worked in politics. Yep. Okay. Mm. All right. We don't want to get into that.
We're not getting into
5:30
right
in the morning. We don't want to get into that. Visiting the UK, by the way.
You are?
The president is.
Oh, okay.
The president just made his UK visit. Meghan was not there to attend.
No, Meghan Markle. She's a little busy with the baby, too.
A little bit.
A little baby Archie.
A little bit.
A little Archie.
A little bit. So text the show on by text line 95795. I want to get your thoughts on Clay and Kevon. How are they going to handle the lineups? Because Clay takes a bulk of that second and fourth quarter unit that comes out there when they bring out all the bench guys, and Clay's always the one you hang on. He's the catalyst of that unit. We'll get into that. Plus, your chance to qualify for finals tickets to Game 3.
Ooh.
We'll get into that, and we'll tell you how to do that on the other side. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagadaki's in with you on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagadaki's.
Pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. All right, Anna.
All right. What's it?
How are we going to do this? How are we going to qualify people for Game 3 tickets?
So we're giving out five. We're qualifying five.
Qualifying five, and then one winner will be given now, I want to say at the end of the day, or tomorrow, possibly tomorrow on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll get all that info for you.
We'll get all that info, but how do you want to qualify people?
Hmm.
We could just make it real simple.
Shouldn't make them do something silly, like sing I'm a Little Teapot, or do some little laugh that we were talking about, like a Kawhi laugh? We won't be mean to people. How about we just be nice to people this morning?
We will just go with the first five callers.
Just make it
callers.
Easy. Let's do this.
We'll make it.
Start it off right.
We'll make it easy for you. And I'm going to be 100% honest, Anna.
Uh-oh.
I didn't annex the phone lines. Phone lines are kind of busy right now. So I have to do that when we don't have a producer sitting in the studio right now because the producer had to step out. I don't know where anyone is. But I got to annex the phone lines right now. You could take over for 5 seconds, right?
You got it.
All right.
You got it. All right. We're ready here, everybody, for this weekend. We've got, or this week on Wednesday, we've got the Warriors. We got so much going on. By the way, I don't know if anybody saw this, a little kind of random storyline that I saw. Angel Pagan of Giants fame, he was actually rescued at sea in Puerto Rico. So the former Giant outfielder is actually safe and sound after a frightening scare in Puerto Rico. Pagan, along with professional baseball player Orlando Roman and also a 16-year-old minor, were rescued off the coast of Puerto Rico. They flipped their boat. And reports say that the boat had capsized right off the coast, about a half hour off the coast. He appears to be unscathed, but Roman had actually appeared to have needed medical assistance for head trauma. So crazy story for Pagan. I had to share that story because we were talking about that beforehand, just saying how crazy that is. You have Angel Pagan off the coast of Puerto Rico getting capsized, but he was rescued, so he's okay.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It is a little crazy.
Insane story.
It's a little nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope he's okay.
He's okay. He's fine.
All right, good.
You know,
good.
But he's all good, safe and sound. Puerto Rico, one of my favorite places, by the way.
That's just a random story I did not expect anyone to even get.
No.
But
By the way, Bacardi Rum Factory, really good spot.
Ooh,
there.
Okay.
All right, let's get back on track here.
We got to get back on track with Clay Thompson because we did qualify five people. I think they are on hold right now. You will be hearing the sultry sounds of John Curley on the phone. He's a great dude. Great dude. He'll make your morning better instantly. He'll just make you happy. It's like Gary St. Jean. You hear his voice on like a Friday.
You're so happy.
Your Friday is just instantly better. Warriors guard Clay Thompson. This is the official injury update given out from Warriors PR yesterday. Warriors guard Clay Thompson, who exited last night's game two of the NBA Finals with 7:59 remaining in the fourth quarter due to left hamstring tightness, underwent an MRI exam today in the Bay Area. The MRI indicated a mild strain of the hamstring. At this point, Thompson is listed as questionable for game three. Then Woj ended up tweeting out that he will be likely to try and play on that hamstring. So Iron Man Clay, who hasn't missed how many playoff games is it? It's over 100. It's 100 straight. So we'll see. We'll see how he fares. But I think like Clay Thompson, it's like when you hear the words likely to play, it gives you a little optimism for Clay Thompson. But right. On the other side, forward Kevon Looney, who did not play in the second half of last night's game two of the NBA Finals due to an upper body injury, underwent an MRI exam today in the Bay Area. The MRI indicated that Looney has suffered a non-displaced first costal cartilage fracture. Right side, he will be out indefinitely. He may not even play in this series. And so I want to see how this is going to shake down. And you can text the Chill Not Body text line at 957-95 if you want, 888-957-9570 if you want to get in. But yeah, you can make the argument that Kevon Looney, now he may not be the most important player on the floor compared to Klay Thompson, but he has been one of the most consistent players that they've had in these playoffs so far. Yeah. I'm not going to say, you know, if Klay and Kevon Looney are out, which is the bigger blow. They're both huge, but I just think that we need to understand that losing Kevon Looney, it's losing much more than just a guy who's been on the bench as a six man.
Yeah, he hasn't felt like a bench player, even though he literally did come off the bench. But before, he has been an incredible part of this rotation. He's been such an important piece when it comes to the first two rounds. I mean, the first two rounds of the playoffs, he was one of the most consistent players on the court.
Yeah.
Right now having Boogie now has shown how important it is having him back, especially with Kevon going down. And you're going to miss definitely his size and everything, his physicality out there. And when he went down the other night, that looked like it hurt. And obviously you see what happened with that injury. He was flinching. He was trying to stay tough. But that was a really tough injury. And having Boogie back was probably one of the most important returns that we've seen in a long time. And we're going to see how this rotation is going to change now, how it's going to be with Boogie, Bogut, Jordan Bell, Jerebko. How are they going to kind of all fit into this whole system?
Well, that's my question here is do you want these guys to up their minutes, or do you just want, at least from the bench, or do you want the starters just to play even more than they already are? Because, I mean, from the 707 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Boogie needs to be the primary scorer. I don't know about the primary scorer. I think you need Steph to be the primary scorer.
I think maybe for the bigs.
For
the bigs, definitely.
Well, yeah,
100%.
Of course. He's the starting center. You need him to be the primary scorer for the bigs. Now, for the team, not necessarily. However, he does need to be, I don't know if primary is the word, but he does need to at least put up more shots because his point totals weren't all that high. Like, he's a 20-plus point guy. He could be, at least if you give him a couple of days rest. Who knows? But, I mean, are we going to have him go over 28 minutes now, like, indefinitely? Like, that's got to happen, right?
I would think so. It's got to be close to that 30 mark for sure because of the fact when you don't have somebody like Kevon Looney who was pretty much playing about 30 minutes himself.
Yeah.
So he's somebody that you need to get a lot more minutes out of, but you also have to be careful about managing it, right, because he is coming off a huge injury. So you've got to be really careful about how you handle it. I think you're going to see a lot more of Bogut. Also, because I think that he's done a really good job between Boogie and Bogut. They've been actually able to kind of go up against Marc Gasol. I think the size and physicality is going to be that you need that more. While Jordan Bell, his speed you like, but the thing is we saw when he started, it actually wasn't a good fit for that starting rotation.
Yeah.
You can get a few minutes out of him, but I think you need more of that size from the big men.
I think... I mean, if if it comes down to it, I wouldn't be opposed to really shaking things up. One texter said on the Shulton Auto Body text line to possibly put Jacob Evans in the starting rotation. I would almost, just to keep that second unit and the six-man coming off the bench, to keep that important, I'd start McKinney over Andre and have Andre just come off the bench and play McKinney maybe 4 minutes at a time coming out of the quarter, no more than that. Go down to 8 minutes, because you got to shake things up here, because Clay, for the second and fourth quarter units that they throw out there, he's been the primary scorer for that squad easily.
That's a good point, he's the one
they got to lay off on. So I'm thinking, man, if you're going to have to shake things up in any way, maybe start McKinney, because Livingston's also important to the bench unit as well, and so's Quinn Cook. So I'm thinking, start McKinney, possibly bring Andre off the bench. I know that sounds like I know that sounds bad off the bat. It probably is a stupid idea, but you got to shake things up in some capacity, because you don't want these guys getting hurt anymore. And with Andre, you saw his minutes go up 35 plus, and then look what happens after he goes up for a layup and comes down and comes up limping. You don't want to overexert Andre Iguodala's minutes. So I'm thinking you got to maybe start McKinney or one of these guys off the bench now that Looney's out.
Yeah, you know what? At first, like, when you said put Andre Iguodala on the bench, like, why? Why would you do that? But I get what you're saying, and it makes sense in a way. But you're seeing Quinn Cook actually step up big time in this last game. His scoring has been improving. So I guess for me, the only thing is I really like the idea of getting everything started right off the bat, getting everything kind of going, and you're going to have to make those adjustments where you're going to have to be like, okay, maybe you will eventually kind of put him in a little bit later as well. You kind of adjust Andre's minutes, but I still kind of like Andre starting with that, so you get in the right mindset and you get in the right flow early on in the game. That's the only thing I don't like about taking Andre out right now with all the injuries.
If you're looking at the minutes total from last game, Draymond Green, 40 minutes. Steph Curry, 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. You almost expect them to play more than that going forward now.
Every single minute. They're going to play like 46 minutes.
Saw Fred VanVleet get 30 plus because Danny, like, this ultimately has become so much more important in terms of playing a clean game. Mm-hmm. Like, just trying not to get fouls. Now, these last guys, they were calling fouls, it felt like, on every drive to the basket. But right now, without Looney out there, you can't risk getting into foul trouble. You're going to have to play about as clean a game as you've played in this series, because you don't want to risk putting anyone on the bench right now. You're going to have to up these minutes, the minutes for these starters here, because it's a big blow. I know it's not exactly, in the starting lineup or whatever, but when Looney comes in, especially like to take over for Boogie, we have a lot of faith in him to do that. And now it's just, we got to have faith in Bogut and Bell as well. So you got to really, I don't know. They're probably going to have to put out a small lineup too, maybe with Jordan Bell involved along with the starters. The rotations here, they're not going to be anything like we've seen in this past couple of games.
One thing can solve it, and this is from the 415. If KD is back, Iggy will move them to the bench. Steph, Clay, KD, Dre, and Boogie. All kinds of things will be solved if you have KD come back. So we'll see if he can actually make it back. I don't know if he's going to be back for game 3. We're going to kind of see how that goes. But yeah, once KD comes back, that's going to help so much, obviously. We'll see how much of an issue he'll have, how it'll change his game at all. How much will we get a KD at 100%? Will we not?
Right.
But that's going to make a huge, huge bit. Does it also make you wonder if they have to win now in 5? They need to really put every bit of effort to just completely come out here and just take every game. Obviously, that's what they want to do. But because of all the injuries, because of guys going down, I think more than ever, you got to get this done.
Yeah.
Like ASAP.
Yeah. these adjustments that they're going to have to make. Do you think that, Boogie Cousins, he worked hard at his rehab. Now, you heard Lowe talk about it, and he said he's had injuries like that. And what Boogie did is something that not every athlete would do, especially with a torn quad. But, with KD and seeing where the team's at right now, they are about as banged up in terms of volume maybe, you know, Curry's been banged up before in the finals and all that sort of stuff, and Andre too, and those were important. But like in terms of just volume of guys who are injured and needing to play 13 of the guys on your roster per game, that doesn't happen all that often. I see KD, like, after that happened, I see him really, like, maybe pushing to get back. At first, I was of the ilk that you'd have to bring KD back at 100% and no less. But now I'm thinking if he feels like he can go at 80, 85%, maybe bring him back. Why not? Because right now, or at least, you know what, maybe give it one game at Oracle and just see how they fare in Oakland, because, you know, home games are different than road games. They stole one in Toronto. Good Lord, took me a little bit to get that out. But they stole one in Toronto.
Yeah.
And they really, like, if you just look back at the game, man, the fact that a team came back and won, and or at least a team didn't come back when the other team didn't score in the final 5 minutes of the game, like, the Warriors came away with that one unscathed almost, except with all these injuries. I mean, if KD maybe should come back now that we're kind of talking about it.
I mean, he's needed. He is incredibly needed right now. I mean, you just look at the injury reports, and everybody, if you go through it, it's almost the entire team, at least almost the entire starting squad that has some type of injury. Even the Steph Curry finger, he still has his fingers wrapped up and everything.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming off dehydration, for goodness sakes.
Mm.
I mean, it's no excuses, but at the same time, you know, you have Kawhi Leonard, who also is apparently hurt too.
Right.
And he's fighting through his leg injury. But they're going to have to look at, you know, even just maybe having Kevin Durant as a presence makes a difference.
Yeah.
Even if he's not 100% Kevin, is that enough? Is KD at 80% still a big enough presence to make an impact on the court?
I mean, they wouldn't have to play him. They'd have to play him more than 25 minutes if he does come back. It'd be a big, big thing. And from the, where was it? From the 650 on the Chilton Autobody text line. You're talking about minutes? Come on, man. 3 games left, all hands on deck. Clay is saying he'll play with the popped hamstring. And with that, 3 games left? I mean, there's 5 games left, for one thing. Let's just use the max amount of games. There could be 5 games left.
It could be.
And
three?
When you go all hands on deck, things happen, like Andre Iguodala going up for a layup, then coming up limping. Like, that's what happens when you go all hands on deck. But you know what? The texter's right, though. You're going to have to go all hands on deck now. Even with Clay's hamstring, they're going to have to come back in some capacity. I don't know how the rotations are going to play out. I really don't. I do expect Clay to be back. But this Kevon Looney injury, he's like the one guy that's on the – he's like the most important guy on that bench right now.
He's been a glue. He's been the glue to this bench.
Yeah.
He's been so good at kind of being able to bridge the starters and the bench right now that he's been such an important part of this team and getting the points, getting, getting a lot of boards and everything. So
yes,
it's a huge miss not having him there.
From the 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line, how do you qualify? Ah, good question, because – you qualified at 5:30 here. We already got 5 qualifiers, but you're going to have another chance at 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30.
There's a theme.
1:30. There is a theme. At the bottom of the hour, at every hour, up until 7 o'clock tonight, you're going to be having a chance to qualify. So tune in at the bottom of the hour. Keep it locked here on 95.7 The Game throughout the day, and you'll learn how to qualify here. And from the 408 on the Chilton Autobody text line, you're seeing this from the 925 also. Strength in numbers. Damian Jones will pick up a few minutes. Yeah. Looney's minutes. Got to play Jones more. He's tall and athletic. The reason that those guys haven't played, though, is because in terms of their basketball IQ and how fast the game is moving, they haven't been ready for that.
I mean, the guy was out since December with a pectoral injury.
We got to give the Raptors credit, because they are a good team, and
yes,
they got a lot of open shots. And the reason that these guys haven't been playing is just because they simply haven't been ready for that big stage, for how quick the game is moving, because stuff is happening. They're just moving the ball, and then you see Jordan Bell lost in the first play, like, against the Raptors, especially on defense. So it's just it's hard to really say, like, yeah, you just got to put those guys in, no problem. Like, it's going to be tough, but you might have to. I think you're at that point now where you're just going to have to put in any guys that you might not have played in this series.
But then at, from the 408, easy for you guys to say, KD goes out there too early and pops his calf, and then what? He's due for a contract December coming off a torn calf. Come on. Look, I know that's a factor that he's got to think about. You know, he's got to think about his future, and I don't fault him for that.
Yeah.
I don't fault him for that. But at the same time, you want a championship, you want to get this done, you want to have keep guys going down. It depends on how he's feeling. If he's feeling good enough to play, he'll get out there. But I don't know if it's going to be game three, most likely game four. But he's definitely needed at this point.
Yeah, if they lose this next game, if they lose game three, the first one at home, then you're doing everything you can to win. You're bringing KD back. You're playing Steph Curry 45 minutes. You're playing Draymond 45 minutes. You're doing whatever it takes to win at that point. Because you do have one game at home just to see how it goes. You never know how the Raptors are going to do on the road coming back from Canada after losing that second game. And from the 408 on the Chill on Body text line, easy for you guys to say, KD goes out there too early and pops his calf, and then what? He's due for a contract this summer coming off a torn calf. Come on!
That's what I just read. But that's why, look, in all honesty, that's why home court is so important right now.
Yeah.
That's why Dub Nation needs to come out there, get out there early, be loud, and be obnoxious to the Raptors. You need to be out there. This is the last time at Roracle. This is the last series at Roracle. Be out there. You know, you had Steve Kerr asking all the fans to come out there, be proud. Just go.
Yeah.
And help this team. Fill in for those guys who can't be on the court.
I have faith. I have faith in the crowd at Oracle.
I think they'll
get it done.
These
fans in Toronto, they're going nuts. They might not see this again.
No,
because Kawhi Leonard might not even be there next season.
Even though apparently he might have bought a house in Toronto. There's a alleged report saying that he may have bought some property in Toronto.
Was it for free? Because they were offering
wasn't that one.
It wasn't that one?
He actually bought property, apparently. This is the story. It's a report. It's not been confirmed, but there's a report out there saying that it looks like he may have bought some property in Toronto.
Oh, respect to Kawhi for that, then, for not taking that free, whatever it was, $15 million
penthouse. My goodness. But you know what? He might either just really like Toronto. I'm like, you know, I might have to come visit here because it's been a really nice area. Or he may want to stay there. But what that means for free agency for him, what that means for everybody else around the league, we'll see if that changes anything.
From the 510 on the Chill Not a Body text line, they can do it, nice guy Steven Kerr played 13 guys Sunday. These guys can handle it. Yeah, but one of those 13 guys was Kevon Looney, and he's a really important piece. That's the issue that we're going with here. I think this is a bigger deal than a lot of people are making it out to be just because he's on the bench. But I do find this text interesting. And from the 408, hey, can we just say that if the Warriors win this championship, this will shut up all the credits because this team has been depleted as much as we've seen in years past. They deserve all the credit that they've deserved. Yeah, with whatever excuse that anyone tries to make for the Warriors actually winning their championships. Oh, Chris Paul got hurt in that final game against the Rockets. That's the reason that they won. You know, there is an excuse for every single one except for that first championship. There's not exactly an excuse for that one, like at least from the critics and all that sort of stuff from the national media. There isn't so much of a, like that first championship is like, okay, that Warriors team's good. You know, wow, they deserve that one. But the other ones, there were excuses there.
There were, but you know, at the same time, I think this year against the Rockets kind of put that to rest because we saw that without KD, this team had stepped up. And everyone is saying, you know, oh, if Chris Paul wasn't hurt, they would have won. Well, you know what? KD got hurt, and the Warriors still won. And on your home court. So, yeah, excuses, put to rest.
The fact that they have done this without, or if they do this without KD for a majority of the series, I do see them getting way more respect, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
definitely
in the future. Because, you know, if it's come down to just the core guys of Steph, Clay, Dre, and Andre. That's what it came down to in the past series. And then, you know, these national guys, they all sit there going, they couldn't win it without KD, blah, blah, blah. Well, I mean, could that still be the excuse if he comes back for, say he comes back for game four and then they end up winning the series? Are people just going to attribute that all to KD's return?
I think it has to do with
and
heart.
Just still have that mindset, you know, just have that mindset of, oh, they can't win without KD. I wonder if that's still going to be the story around this team, because that is the, like, outside of the Bay Area, outside of this Bay Area championship bubble that we're in. You know, the pundits out there, they're all saying that they can't win without Kevin Durant.
Well, I won't say that they can't win. I think we here know that strength of numbers is important. And when you're seeing guys go down, you've seen the Warriors be able to step up without KD. They can win.
Yeah.
But it's also that certain situations, you do need KD. And when you're seeing more and more guys go down, you see where we've also seen where he has been important, where his game has been missed. We've seen that in games already. You know, you've seen guys get into foul trouble when, you know, if you had KD there, he may not have gotten into foul trouble. And so that's kind of the thing that, you know, here's a here and there, you need him. You do need him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, could they win without him? Yes. But right now, with guys going down, you definitely need him.
From the 707 on the Chill Not a Body text line, not worried. Alonzo and Jarebko, much more accurate on familiar floor. They will step up and be amazing Wednesday. You're going to have to hit those corner threes, Alfonso and Jarebko. They've done such a good job of getting those guys open in the corner. Jarebko loves that corner three, and he made a couple in the first game and then missed a couple in that second game. Those ones that you missed in the second game, you're going to have to make. Like, things are going to have to go right here for the Warriors. Like, a lot of things are going to have to go right. Missed open shots is why the reason why the Raptors ended up losing game two. That's why they didn't. And, I mean, that's why the Warriors took it away, even though they didn't score in the final 5 minutes. The Raptors did have open shots. Not like there was good defense being played. So we're really going to have to just make sure that these guys play a clean game three. That's all we can ask for right now.
Clean game. We need everybody put all hands on deck. It's going to all work out. By the way, may have a little something from Nike. There's a shirt that just came out from Nike. Of all the places that KD has played, and you know what the last one is? San Francisco, California. They have Oakland, California, then San Francisco.
Wow.
What does that
Nike
mean?
Know something that we don't know?
Maybe.
Jolo and Dibs are going to be coming up next. They have Greg Papa at 8:30 and then Jim Barnett at 9:05. We'll get all the word from them on how the Warriors are going to handle taking care of these injuries. And then, you know what? I'm totally wrong about the 2015 one. I did forget that Kyrie and Kevin Love were hurt for that one. So, yeah, every championship that they've had, the critics have had an excuse. Wow.
Not this time.
Not this time.
Not this time.
Not this time. Jolo and Dibs next.